This podcast is produced by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President, simplifying a complex money world with investment programs to match a range of investment goals and life situations. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Friday edition of Invest Talk. It is June 16th, and don't we all love Fridays? Above average investing for the average investor is what we're all about. This is our daily roundtable discussion. I don't know if it's a roundtable, but it certainly is a discussion. You know, you always have a place at the table, whether it's round or not. Don't feel intimidated. If you're just starting out, that's okay. Beginner questions are fine. You know, advanced questions are fine too. Whatever questions you have, I would love to talk to you about. Now, advanced questions might be too advanced for me, so, you know, that's possible too. And your calls are always welcome, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live between 4 and 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday, so we're live right now. And when we're not live, just leave the question, and we'll answer it on the next Invest Talk. We really will. Now, we're going to talk today somewhat about what pundits typically don't talk about, where not to put your money, and why. That's going to be one of our main talking points today. Four types of investments to avoid. And it's pretty hard. One of the four things is pretty clear, but the other ones are kind of hard to... Well, we'll talk about it. You'll see what I'm talking about. We look at, every Friday, I try to go over a little bit over the newsletter, the premium newsletter I send out today. I send out every Friday a weekly newsletter. It offers a good look at the week's economics and market, what's going on. And there was some interesting economic news out this week, and I'm going to go through that in more detail. But I talked about in the newsletter what's going on also in the rest of the world. You know, what's happening in the EU, Japan, Brazil, and the transparency of these economies and the governments, and where you might find some volatility, and what's going on as far as a world GDP. And, you know, I do this every week, you know, trying to give you a broad idea of what's happening, not just here in the United States, but everywhere else, because it affects us. One of the sections after that first main section is about portfolio management. And this week we talked about hedging. What is hedging? How to hedge? Why do you hedge? You know, it's not just selling stock short, which if you don't know what that means, call and ask the question, be happy to do it. But also different kinds of hedges to protect yourself. What is a hedge for? It's really for protection in a down market. That's what it's for. On Consumer Watch, talked about LED lights this time. You know how expensive they are, really, right? You know that. But they're actually cheaper than the other lights by somewhat, you know. I talked about that. Now, if you want to get the premium newsletter, you know, it's risk-free for a month. Go to investtalk.com, click on the Invest Talk tab there. It's $9.95 a month. But you can test it if you want to. Now, do you have any questions about brokerage accounts, life insurance, reverse mortgages? Anything that's worth talking about as financial, I will talk about. Our list line is 888-99-CHART. That's our anytime line. We're live 4 to 5 Pacific time, as I said earlier. So we're live right now. Love to hear from you. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't scroll down far enough. And we're going to talk to BJ. How you doing, BJ? What's going on?
I'm doing good. Happy Friday.
Thank you.
So it looks like Amazon bought Whole Foods.
Yep.
And luckily, I had picked up some Whole Foods just recently. Mm-hmm. So, is there any point holding it any longer?
Well, we own Whole Foods and a couple of our managed accounts, and I sold them first bright and early this morning. I took the money and ran like I had the dickens. I mean, it was $13.7 billion cash offer from Amazon for Whole Foods. BJ, you see all the damage it did in the other food stocks? Also,
yeah.
Target, Costco, you name it, they all got hit. You know, everybody's scared. Yeah. The investors got scared. So I sold Whole Foods right away, and I bought more Target. Oh, I'm not supposed to.
Did you buy Target? Oh, what do you think about Costco? Because
okay, everybody.
Recently, I think.
Everybody, I'm not supposed to talk about what I did. So just ignore what I said about Target, because you didn't bring it up. I did. You brought up Whole Foods. So we sold BJ, we sold Whole Foods this morning.
Oh, okay. But, Steve, I think you were talking last week about Costco.
Yes.
Their cost is cheaper than
yes.
Amazon.
Yes, they are.
On online do you think there is a value at this point?
17%.
With all in Costco?
Costco's online products are 17% cheaper than Amazon. So now that you ask about Costco, I'll be happy to talk about Costco. so Costco had a big down day today, you know, like everybody else in that sector, down 7%. It was down more than 10%. If you were looking to buy Costco, this is an opportunity, I think.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, BJ. Now, that doesn't mean it can't go down further, everybody. It could, especially if the whole market, you know, corrects. But this is an opportunity. There's no reason. Okay, so what? Amazon bought Whole Foods. What makes you think that, remember, Amazon is not experienced in brick-and-mortar stores. What makes anybody think that that's going to work? Now, I happen to think it will work. I'm not saying that. But this is a big change in their model, is it not? So this is a pretty risky operation. Everybody just assumes it's just great. Amazon bought Whole Foods, and that's going to get them into the food business in a big way. And, you know, first of all, you know, the food business is not that profitable. But, of course, Amazon itself, on a per-item basis, is not that profitable either. But they're so big, they make a lot of money. But, you know, why should this hurt Costco? It won't. Remember, Costco is the largest seller of natural foods, organic foods in the world. Costco is. And I'm not sure why Costco would get punished because of this. Now, you can say Costco is overpriced, and that's why it should go down, but not because of this purchase, and that's the only reason why it went down. Four types of investments to avoid, everybody. That's one of our talking points. Also, we're going to talk about GM moving 600 more jobs from Mexico to the northern border after already promising, 1,500 before? I don't want to talk necessarily about GM. I want to talk about why they are doing this and what kind of impact elsewhere that it might have. And I also want to discuss some of the statistics out this week, housing starts and retail sales in particular that came out this week. And finally, you know, retirement beneficiaries, you have a 401k, you have an IRA, you have a Roth, you have all these other things. Who is your beneficiary? Did you name a beneficiary, and then subsequent beneficiaries to these things? Why is that important? It's extremely important, but why? I think that's something we very rarely talk. It seems simple, but I think there's, you know how I know that there's problems in this area? Because I talk to a lot of potential customers, and I see that who their beneficiaries are when they transfer to me, and I have to say this is wrong. I have to tell them why it shouldn't be this way. So we're going to talk about that. Those are the things we're going to discuss. The market was mixed today. The Dow ended up being up 24 when it was down most of the day. The Nasdaq was down 14 when it was down a lot more for most of the day. And the S&P is up 1, and that was down. So the market kind of recovered from being weak. But notice the market is not just, it's just, boy, there's got to be some kind of callus to move it up or down, because it's kind of, you know, just kind of moving sideways. You know, maybe something has to happen. All I'm saying, it's got to be either good or bad. Something has to happen to drive it. And we don't have that yet. And I don't know what that something will be. It could be just plain old earnings for the next quarter doing well, and it'll move the market up. Could be something going on in Washington, good or bad. Move it up or down. We don't know. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. Words to live by, Sir John Templeton, founder of Templeton Funds. Buy at the point of maximum pessimism and sell at the point of maximum optimism. So where are we today? The problem was that the statement from John, which is all true, by the way, is the word maximum. Maximum pessimism, maximum optimism. Well, when's that? Who rings a bell at that time to tell us, oh, here it is? No one. 888-99-CHART, how to get through with your question right now.
Hi, guys. This is Patrick from DeKalb, Illinois. I'm calling regarding a portfolio composition question. I've been very heavily U.S. equities, individual stocks in my portfolio, probably something like 90% for a while now, and I've done fairly well with it. And I've got a small portion, maybe 3% in short-term bonds, and the rest is in cash. And I'm looking to take off a lot of my risk and better diversify within the different asset classes. Specifically, I'm looking to reduce my U.S. equity exposure by buying some international exposure, and then also trying to figure out what to do with the even more conservative money. Let's say 15% or so into bonds or cash, or what you would recommend for the more conservative portion of my portfolio, and how do I transition this? Do I do it all in one swoop, or do I slowly migrate from my basically 90% U.S. equities and then every so often sell some and then buy some either internationally or bond funds or REITs or whatever you might suggest? Love the program. Thank you, and look forward to your answer.
Okay, let's talk about diversification and more conservative, because diversification does not necessarily mean more conservative. So getting out of U.S. stocks and going to international or emerging markets, that's good diversification, but doesn't necessarily mean less risk, especially emerging markets, be more risk. Now, it might be a very good thing to do because the emerging markets and European markets have underperformed for quite some time, and maybe it's their turn to do better while our markets have overperformed. So in that sense, it's good to diversify. I just don't want you to confuse diversification with less risk. Diversification usually means a spread of the risk, but not necessarily less risk. Okay? Now, when you talk about bonds, and bonds are a totally different animal from stocks, and they would reduce your overall portfolio risk, because bonds move very different than stocks. Now, I would prefer to have you buy bonds directly and have a grouping of good, solid, corporate, high-quality corporate bonds or even municipal bonds in your state. And then ladder them. But most people can't do that. You don't have a big enough portfolio. You don't know how to buy bonds. You don't know when you're getting a good deal or not. So buying a bond fund is most of the time their option, either an ETF or a bond mutual fund. And I would keep the duration, the length of the bond, short. The length of the bond fund, the average duration of the bond fund, on the shorter side. That's about the best you can do. You can get a stable value fund or even a fund that a TIPS, Treasury Inflation Protected Bond Fund. And all those things takes a little bit of knowledge. And, you know, I can't just answer that quickly over the radio show. But that would be a good place to move away from the risk of the market. This is Invest Talk, everybody. I'm Steve Peasley. Let's hear about your portfolio. Is it up to date? Do you need to make some changes? Let's talk about it. 888-99-CHART. 888-992-4278. Love to hear from you about whatever financial is on your mind. Okay, types of investments you should avoid. Because everybody talks about the investments. You need to buy this. You need to buy that. But how many times do people talk about avoiding something? These are the kinds of things you should avoid. And, of course, once in a while you hear about it. But I'm going to talk about it anyways. First thing. Always avoid high fee mutual funds. Now, what's a high fee? The average mutual fund's fee is about 1.1, 1.2%. That's average. You can find funds that pay much less than that. The whole Vanguard fund family charges pretty low fund fees. But about 1.1, 1.2 is the average U.S. large cap mutual fund fee. So why not avoid fees? Always avoid loaded fees, meaning commissions. Some unloaded funds, meaning commissions. Many funds, A shares, B shares, C shares, you have a little letter next to your mutual fund, that means they're commissions. There's no load, no commission funds out there, just as many as loaded funds. So why? Make sure you avoid those. Avoid gold. Now, I bet you that shocks a lot of people. Gold on a long-term basis as an investment is not very good. That doesn't mean you never buy gold mining stocks or gold. It means that it is not a good long-term investment. It's a bad long-term investment. It's a good hedge against a market that's volatile or going down. It's a good hedge against a weakening dollar. But long-term investment is terrible. Go back 30 years, look how it's performed, and you'll see what I mean. It's a terrible long-term investment. Airline stocks. Avoid airline stocks. Now, the last number of years, airline stocks have done pretty well. Long-term, though, they stink. Ask Warren Buffett. He hates them. He has bought them in his past, but he hates them. He says if he has a toll-free number that he calls to talk him down from the possibility of buying airline stocks because they're terrible as a long-term investment. Think about all the airlines that gone out of business in the last 30, 40 years. A lot. And remember, the problem one of the problems they have is the inventory they have goes worthless once that plane leaves the ground. What's their inventory? Seats. Empty seats. It's worthless. You can't resell it once it takes off. And finally, bad CEOs. Avoid companies that have bad CEOs. How do you know if it's a bad CEO? Well, one way is if he ever gets indicted or they have to restate their finances or anything like that. Stay away from them. Get away from them. Just pay attention. Don't stay it with companies with bad CEOs. Okay, that's all I had. Hope that's enough. Anyways, well, I'll probably have more later on the show. Anyway, let's get back to our 24-hour listener line and pick up another question. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
Hi, Steve and Justin. I really love your show. I listen to you guys every day back from work on the podcast. Just a quick question regarding a stock that I recently purchased about months ago. Citi Group, ticker symbol C. I'm just wondering what you think of their future, especially in the next few months, especially with the rising interest rates. Thank you.
Just so you know, everybody, rising interest rates helps banks. It doesn't hurt them. It helps them. Long as they're not rising fast. And the Fed has been raising those rates very, very slow. So increasing rates helps banks. So Citigroup, a symbol C, is a global holding company offering banking, investment, insurance, and credit card services in more than 160 countries around the world. It's a $175 billion company. The thing I don't like about Citigroup, if you want to know the truth, is that it's this huge, big, blue-chip company that makes good money, but their dividend is only 1%. I think it should be much higher than that. Don't expect them to grow very much. They're just so big, it's difficult for them. Sales grew 6% last quarter, but for the quarters before that, for four or five, six, seven quarters in a row, it shrank anywhere from, on average, about 4, 5, 6%. So just in the recent quarter did it go. And this stock has increased steadily ever since last July, where it bottomed from $40 today at $63. My feeling is it's no longer cheap to own. And even though the PE is 13, the average PE range is 7 to 16. So it's always been low for many, many years. They had not a very good return on equity. Great cash flow. You want to buy this when it's on sale, and it's not on sale. It's not. So I think if you just recently buy it, you're buying it at a top. You know, it's a good, solid company, good, solid bank that should be in your portfolio, but you want to buy them when they're on sale. You're not going to get a huge run-up. Just not. It's Ready for Invest Talk, everybody. Finsight Insiders Now, our most recent wealth webinar is there. You can now, it's ready for you if you want to see it. The Basics of Residential Real Estate Investing with real estate investor Chevy Atkinson and Justin Klein. You can sign up to be Invest Talk Insider just by going to investtalk.com.
Our podcast continues next. The process of investing is more than just picking stocks. Investing begins with savings, of course, and along the way, there are issues about taxes and then estate planning and on and on. KPP Financial clients have a ready resource of information about any and all of these personal financial matters. All they need to do is ask. Managing your money gets more complex every day, and there are more options than the average person could possibly comprehend. And when we're confronted with too many choices, research shows that people put off decisions, important decisions. Most times, that's not productive. KPP Financial's philosophy is the more their clients know, the more successful they'll be, and the more predictable their future will be. KPP Financial, serving the average investor, helping them find solutions. Now let's continue with the podcast. Well, let's continue now with Invest Talk for this Friday, June 16th. Financial advisor Steve Peasley ready to tackle your money question right now. On any money topic, our direct line is 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART. We're going to go talk to Art. How you doing, Art?
Good, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you about Nike. I've been waiting for a while to see if it would drop below 50, and it's getting close right now.
Yeah, 50 would be a great price, I think. It would be a very good price to pick it up. Nike, everybody, NKE, you know who they are. I don't have to tell you, I don't think. You know, they make high-quality athletic footwear and stuff. They are getting close to their low of their five-year PE range. They're right around 20, about around 20, 21, and it's 19 to 34 is a range. So I agree that it's getting right down there. Had two bad days recently. I'm not sure why. It might be related to the Amazon purchase because the whole retail sector sold off for some reason. But you know, if it's Nike is one of those stocks you try to buy cheap, and it's getting fairly inexpensive. You know, 51. So you know, it had a $49 bottom in November, and it could be wrong, Art, but you know, you want to buy it around $50. That's the place where you want to buy it. So
yeah, that's what I was thinking of the same thing. Just hold on to it for a little while, I guess.
Yeah, don't be in a big rush. You might get a market correction, you know, it fell hard in the last 2 days. It probably will bounce, but maybe it'll fall another few days before it does and give you a better opportunity. Uh-huh. Don't try to be too perfect, Art, because you know no one can guess the bottom. I can't. We can't. But it's reasonably priced. It's pretty cheap right now. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right.
Thanks, Art.
A lot, Steve.
NKE is Nike, everybody. NKE. So GM announced it's going to move 600 more jobs north. A parts supply division of GM. They're going to move that closer to where they make their SUV here in the U.S. And, you know, that's after moving another number of companies moving their products back, or their production back to the U.S. And, of course, you know, that's a big issue for Trump to move them north. But the issue for you and me as an investor is this a trend that's going to be take place. Recently, lawmakers are looking at adjusting the law, tax law, to try to make it more even from the south of the border to us. And that would make it cheaper to build stuff here in the U.S. I think we got to look at this as a continuing prospect for the future, that the laws are going to be changed and there's going to be better or different trading laws. You heard about Cuba today with Trump cutting the Obama deal off, but he wants to and willing to negotiate a better deal. I think that kind of thinking is going to continue throughout his presidency. And we as investors have to take that in consideration when you're investing in companies that have international markets. You may not want to invest in something that is moving their production here because it might cost more money. Vice versa, you may want to because it's more friendly atmosphere here. So I just want you to be aware of these changes and consider them when you're investing in big companies that have, you know, international exposures everywhere. I do think for the U.S., it's a positive move to bring back more jobs here. I think it's positive, not negative, positive. It used to be, you know, big corporations, well, they wanted to move because it's cheaper. Well, that, you know, for a number of years, we've talked about that is not as cheap as it used to be. China, India, they're getting more expensive making products closer to where they're sold, becoming more and more important. And we are a big consumer-driven market, so you're going to see this trend. It has been going on long before Trump became president, but now he's going to put more emphasis on it, and that would be good. Let's talk to Jamie in Palo Alto, who wants to talk about Target, GDT, TGT. How you doing, Jamie?
I'm doing good. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. Appreciate it. I thank you for calling. So you want to buy?
I saw a drop today because I think because of the Amazon move on Whole Foods, and I was thinking, what do you think about getting into Target?
Okay.
At this point.
Well, we own Target already. We did for a couple of our managed comp, and I bought more. We owned Whole Foods also. We sold our Whole Foods today, since you mentioned Amazon buying Whole Foods. So we sold all our Whole Foods stocks, and we bought more Target. And we've already made money on it because we did that first thing in the morning this morning, and Target made up a lot of the first initial fall. I don't understand why investors would want to dump Target because Amazon bought Whole Foods. Okay, to me, it makes very little sense to dump Target because of that. So we took the profits on Whole Foods, and we bought more Target this morning.
Okay. Well,
okay.
That gives me confidence, though. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Target, you know, thank you for the call. I appreciate it, Jimmy. But Target, TGT is a symbol, everybody. You know, they're huge. They're a $30 billion company. They're going to make $4.24 this year, down from $5.01 last year and $4.18 next year. But they pay a 4.7% dividend. That's not going away. The stock already has reflected those earnings, they've already been reflected. And already knowing those things, the stock was moving up from a bottom of 52 or so. It was out to 57 and then fell down today back to 52.61. It was below 50 in the early morning hours. So all those numbers that I've talked about already in, and they're 5-year PE range is 11 to 20, and it's a $52 stock. They're going to make $4.18. So that means what? The PE is what? 12? 13? So that's pretty low. Return on equity is 24%. Remember, it's paying a 4.7% dividend, and it will continue to pay that. And I do like the fact that insiders are buying at these low prices for Target. I don't know. It just seems like a reasonable, good buy for a big blue chip stock. You know, KPP, my firm, we buy value plus growth. We want some growth, but we buy value. Our main focus is value. And for Target, this is a pretty good darn value. Not much growth, hardly any growth, but a very good value. And you're getting 4.7% for your money while you hold on to it. Kind of like it. Kind of like it. The real question is it a done deal? Amazon buying Whole Foods for $13.7 billion. Is that a done deal? Or is that mean, or is there going to be bidders come in and try to buy Whole Foods also away from? Is it done? Now, I would say we discussed this at length this morning before we sold it, Whole Foods, because, you know, maybe we'll get more money. And my conclusion was that it's a 75 to 80% chance of a done deal at the price that they quote. It's done. So you might as well take your money and run. Put it to use somewhere else. Because what if it falls through, which is slim, but if it does, you lose all that profit. You know, so why? And it's going to take a while to do the deal, to get it complete. Anyway, housing starts were reported this week, and it's a 3 months in a row where housing starts have fallen. 1.09 million starts. They expected 1.23 million. And last month, it was 1.1 million. So it was kind of disappointing, that number. Now, housing starts, now builders are not worried about it yet because they see more construction in single-family units instead of multifamily units, and that's why the housing starts number is down. Well, that's part of the reason. But then I look at the permits, and they went from 1.23 million down to 1.1 million. Maybe we're starting seeing the first little cracks in the housing market. We'll have to keep an eye on that. Now, retail sales, also a little bit worrisome, reported this week. It was down 0.3%. And even when you remove autos, it's still down 0.3%. Last month, it was up 0.4%. I'm just wondering, well, why is it falling? What's going on? And inflation numbers out this week, we have zero inflation. Absolutely no inflation in the most recent month. None. Zero. Nada. Matter of fact, from the CPI, the CPI was down 0.1%, while the wholesale numbers were zero. I mean, there's no inflation. Remember, what does the Fed do when it raises rates? What's the argument? They're raising rates to fight inflation. Well, we don't have any. They're raising rates to slow the economy because it's overheated. The economy is not overheated. So the other reason they raise the rates, because they're cheap and they want to get them higher so they can lower them later to fight the next recession whenever it comes. What if they're causing the next recession by raising rates? That's possible. Raising rates traditionally slows the economy. That's what it's for. One of the reasons they use the ability to raise rates is to slow the economy. Well, we don't need a slower economy. If you have a 401k account, here's a KPP investment program that may make life a little bit easier for you, less stressful. It's called our Active 401k program. It's a new system that can meet a serious challenge for the average investor out there. How to make informed choices within the limits of your employer's 401k plan. How do you do that? Well, this solves that problem. If you'd like to know more about it, just go to investtalk.com and click on the investments tab and look at the Active 401k.
One of the most popular topics on Invest Talk is real estate. Mostly, I'm sure, because so many people have a stake in it. But real estate questions can be very specific, related to a person's individual situation. Well, now there's another source of answers for your real estate questions. You can ask Justin directly. He's a licensed real estate agent and can give you a professional opinion. You can get a note to him with your question on investtalk.com. Just click on Contact Justin, and he'll get right back to you.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Justin. Henning from Ukraine here. I've got a question regarding ticker symbol ECL, Ecola. I am thinking of taking a position for the next 5 to 10 years, and I was wondering whether you could give me a valuation and what you thought of its dividend policy. Thanks a lot, and have a good one. Bye-bye.
Okay, it's Ecolab, ECL, trades out of their headquarters in St. Paul, and it's on the New York Stock Exchange. Markets cleaning, sanitizing, pest elimination, maintenance, and repair products to hotels and restaurants. A $39 billion company, so it's fairly large, pretty big cap company. Not a lot of growth. It grew 2% last quarter, but the quarters before that, three of the quarters before that shrank sales 2% a quarter for three quarters, then increased 2% last quarter. So it's pretty stable, kind of no growth kind of company. Pays a 1.1% dividend, and it has moved sharply up from $110 back in November. Then after Trump was reelected, now it's $134. So it's made its run. You do not want to chase the performance here. It's too expensive. Five-year average PE is 21 to 31, and it's right at 30. And it will be, you know, a little less next year, but it has a great, it's a very solid company. It's a company you would want in your portfolio, but not at this price. I think it's too expensive. I would rather see you be a buyer around 120, 121 in that area. I think that's a much better price. And if I don't get it, I won't worry about it, and I would not buy it here. Okay? Good company, but too expensive. That's one of the reasons why it's too expensive. It's a good company. Let's talk to Jerry in San Mateo. How you doing, Jerry?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
Good. Yamana Gold, AUY, with no inflation. I'm wondering if maybe it's not a good hedge anymore.
It's a good hedge against the dollar. It's been flumping around right where it is, $2.45, for months now. And that's very disappointing, but it's still a good hedge against a lowering dollar. And the dollar has been weakening all this year. Why is not helping Yamana Gold? It should. Yamana Gold is a company engaged in the mining and exploration of gold and silver production. And I don't understand why it's not doing as well. I think, though, you hold on to it until it breaks this. So I think it's around $2.35. It's at $2.45 now. So I'm a holder here until it breaks. And it could break because what it's doing is forming a base around right around here, $2.45. It's been here one, two, three. This is the fourth time since the beginning of the year. And every time it's bounced off. But when it bounced off, it's a lower high. So technically, it's showing weakness. And I would be nervous about it, but I'd hold on to it until it breaks down from this 240 level. Okay?
Okay.
Appreciate the call. Thanks. AUY. AUY. The reason why, if you look at other gold companies and you look at their charts, they don't look as bad as Yamada, and I'm not sure why. They don't look good. Don't get me wrong. They don't look good, but I think it's at a low. I think these things are at a low. So I'd be very, very careful selling here. You're selling at a low. You're listening to Invest Talk. We'd love to hear from you. We got one more segment left to go. 888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Smee. How you doing? San Jose.
This is Sunny here. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Steve, I have a question regarding how to construct a bond ladder.
Okay.
And I think you mentioned somewhere in the program about high-quality corporate bonds.
Yes.
Or the muni bonds.
Yes.
So I have a two-part question. The first is how to construct bond labeling and what should be the maximum duration you should go for and where you can actually buy the direct bonds.
Okay.
I found one website called fmsbonds.com. I don't know if you are aware of.
No, I'm not.
Or you should be going through like E-Trade, Ameritrade or something like that.
You really can't go through a discount broker because you need a bond desk that you buy the bonds, and it's a little bit more difficult. And it's difficult for a person that is small that doesn't have millions of dollars because, you know, bond desks don't really want to deal with $10,000 increments in bonds. And you need to build a ladder of a number of bonds, meaning you have 10, 15 different bonds coming due maybe a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, 4 years from now. I would not go out more than 5 years in duration. And for an individual who doesn't hire a manager such as me, because I have a bond ladder in my balanced income portfolio, half of that portfolio for the clients is high dividend paying stocks, and the other half is a bond ladder. And so I can buy bonds and give people smaller bits of bonds because I buy millions at a time. It's more difficult for you, but you can build a ladder with a bond funds, even though I don't like it, by buying short-term bond funds and then an intermediate-term bond fund, but not long-term in this environment because they would really get hurt when interest rates go up. The reason why you want to buy the bonds direct is because when you buy them at par and hold them to maturity, you get the interest rate during that period of time, the yield from the bond, and at maturity, you get the money back at par. You buy a bond fund, they usually go down when interest rates go up, and the bonds themselves inside mature, but not the bond fund itself. So it always reacts to rising and lowering interest rates, and if interest rates rise over the next few years, the bond fund NAV, net asset value, will go down. Where if you buy the bonds directly, they go from par back to par. You buy $10,000 worth, it will mature at $10,000, and you get the 3%, 4%, or 5% yield every year while it does that. That's why I like the bonds directly. It's more difficult to me for an individual to do it. It's doable. It's just more difficult. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's talk to Bill in Northern California. How you doing, Bill?
Hey, Steve. Thank you very much. Not too bad. BGF, I hold that in a retirement account. And just wonder about what dropped about 7% today. Can you see what the reason is behind that?
I know exactly why it did that. It did that only because Amazon bought Whole Foods today. That's it. That was the reason. We own BGS and some of our managed accounts, and we don't react to this. Don't.
Okay.
It'd be a mistake.
Well, it's got a real good dividend, but I noticed it's been slight downtrend over the last few
years.
Yeah.
And early in the show, you'll notice that Target did the same thing. Costco did the same thing. Almost all the grocery stores did the same thing. They all fell hard. We bought more of Target, as I mentioned earlier in the show when someone called about it and talked about it. We bought more. We sold Whole Foods because we owned that one too. And we bought more of Target. BGS, we just held on to. We're not going to sell it. BGS, everybody, is a $2.5 billion company manufacturer, shelf-stable food products such as jellies and hot sauces sold in the U.S. Tell me why that would fall hard just because Amazon bought Whole Foods. It would not be a reason.
Other than today's decline, the general decline from the winter, that's just a seasonal fluctuation, normal stock fluctuation?
Well, it's today not really. It was all reflected because every investors panicked because of this deal with Whole Foods and Amazon. They panicked across this whole sphere of retail food stores. And even in other stores, too. It made no sense. But maybe it's an opportunity for everybody. Time to close up for the day, everybody. The hour is done. The week is done. So we have to wait till next week to do this again. If you missed getting on my schedule for San Jose the day before yesterday, I will be in San Jose again on July 18th, meeting with people. If you want to sit down and meet with me, go to investtalk.com, click on the Invest Talk tab. Again, that's July 18th in San Jose. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein, everybody at KPP, we'll see you again on Monday.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.